Welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast from EnergyNet. This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2023 in Nairobi, Kenya. Join us for this and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.
My name is John Hamilton from African Energy.
And my name is Chris Antonopoulos from Lekela Power.
Chris, hi. It's so good to be speaking with you today. Lekela Power, the biggest developer of renewable projects on the African continent. The first thing I'd like to ask you is, from that perspective, how do you see the development of renewable power in Africa over the coming period?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, thank you for inviting me to speak today. And of course, that's the magic question. You know, first, let me just say a few words about Lekela Power. We are indeed the largest pure play renewable energy company in Africa. We have currently 1,300 megawatts in operation, 1,000 megawatts wind, 300 megawatts solar. We have been, earlier in this year, we have been acquired by Infinity Power, which is a joint venture between Infinity, a large Egyptian company, and Masdar, that everyone knows from the UAE. And part of that acquisition, we have also some minority owners like the AFC, African Finance Corporation, and EBRD. Now, why do I say all of this? It's because with that, we have a lot of capital available to invest in the African continent. Our remit will remain Africa, only Africa. We're not going outside, and it's going to be renewable power, but a bit beyond solar and wind, so batteries, any green energy, you know, e-fuels, green desalination could be part of it, etc., right? We have already currently 13 gigawatts, some 25 projects or opportunities, I should say, which we are developing. Whether they will all materialize and what is the time frame for all of this is, of course, a bit outside of our control. But it gives you an impression on how committed we actually, and my shareholders, how committed we are to do projects. And why? For various reasons. I think Africa has the best natural resources, solar, wind, geothermal, you name it, you know, you can't ask for better. Then also, unfortunately, we have to say, the market is not at all saturated. There's only 6 or 7% of the power mix in Africa is renewable. The rest is all conventional power, basically, right? So new renewables, there's much more to come. And we see that all the governments, all the 54 governments, have actually quite ambitious targets within the next couple of years to reach levels like renewable power levels like, you know, 20 to 30 or even more percentage. So if you really want to do that, then you clearly need to triple and quadruple the amount of capital that we have so far invested. The key item was going to be, you know, whether the governments will be able to facilitate this. And, you know, what I'm always saying to the governments is, you know, there are very good examples around South Africa, Kenya, Morocco, other places, Egypt, where this has been done successfully. So why don't you just simply try to copy those successful approaches rather than starting all from scratch, right? And if they can do that, I think that, you know, we will be able to reach that level relatively short time.
So already you have a really strong proven track record in Egypt, in Senegal, in South Africa. But I imagine out of that 13 gigawatt of potential projects, you know, the ones that you're hoping, you know, to take some of them to success, What other countries are you looking at? Are you seeing opportunities all over the continent?
I mean, the ideal case for us is that, you know, we spread our wings to the entire continent. You know, we want to be everywhere. We understand that it's not going to be possible to be everywhere. But principally, we are open to every country, particularly if they put in place the regulatory framework and decent PPA, power purchase agreements, right, to make it happen.
Sure.
So we do not necessarily, you know, go for one country versus the other country like that. However, we know that in order to reach these levels, we have to go beyond these 3-4 countries, and we are already quite advanced. We are not yet all 54, to be honest, but we need to be a bit selective as well, right? But clearly, South Africa and Egypt will remain key countries because that's where we are already.
Yes, of course.
You know, but selectively, we are moving on now also into other countries, and you will hear more about us in the future.
Well, of course. I mean, there are such, you know, they're markets with, you know, extraordinarily sort of dynamic sort of events sort of shaping them at the moment. But would you say that, I mean, that point you made about, you know, the necessity of governments putting in place the right sorts of agreements and looking to where successes have already happened and learning those lessons, I mean, is that for you the sort of the most important of perhaps many factors which will define what works and what doesn't over the next while?
Yeah. As I mentioned, I mean, the natural resources, of course, the first thing you look at, right?
Sure.
But that seems to be in all countries more or less okay, right? Then, and number two, you look at location, you know. Number three, you look at the grid. Can the grid take, if you want to put in 150 megawatts, can it take it? Yay, nay. What do we have to do about it? So there are a few other things, but fundamentally, you need to put a contractual structure into place which can be financed. Because if you like it or not, the current situation in Africa is that you have an oligopoly of lenders. You have just the DFIs who are really interested or provide such long-term terms, 15-year, 20-year loans, right, which make the project financially viable and also competitive, right, compared to the other sources. And that's why the issue is, you know, that's where we see the issue is going to be. But let me give an example. Egypt, you mentioned Egypt, right? I mean, 7 years ago, Egypt had a much higher demand than supply.
Yeah.
Right? And they realized this very, very soon. And within a couple of years, putting the right things into place, right, they are now almost the opposite. They are now, you know, they need 30 gigawatts of electricity, and they have 60 available, right? So it can be done. Yeah. It can be done.
It can, no, and of course, and as we've been hearing at this conference, they're actually going to be decommissioning some of their gas-fired capacity, the less efficient capacity to build. They're calling it 5 to 10, aren't they? So which means dropping 5 gigawatts of gas, adding 10 gigawatts of renewables, and that's. I mean, is that a pattern which you can see eventually taking place in other markets? I'm sure there are many markets where, you know, actually they just need to add the renewables without really taking off the thermal. But could you see that replacement thing happening elsewhere?
Yes, absolutely. I think the beauty about renewables is that they are now the cheapest form. And I've heard this morning that in certain countries, even if you attach a battery to the renewables, it's still the cheapest form of electricity. But anyway, maybe in these countries, not yet, but it's coming. It's coming very, very soon. And the second important point for me is, you know, when you look, for instance, South Africa or Egypt, which went through this program, all right, they came from, you know, 14 cents a kilowatt hour of price down to 2 to 3 cents a kilowatt hour. But to expect that already in round one, you will get the 2 to 3 is a bit over optimistic.
Yes,
I would say. And also secondly is if you are down to 2 to 3, then you can use that electricity not only for the consumers, being industrial or you know, normal household consumers, but you can use it for the new tech. You can use it for new technologies such as green ammonia, green hydrogen, green desalination, right? When you are at that level, it will work. It could work,
sure.
Sorry.
Yeah,
we still need to see. But when you are not there, you know, and it will not be from the very beginning that you are already having a great...
I mean, clearly there's a lot of conversations going on about that here and in the industry in general. The idea that instead of just producing power, I mean, an enormous good in itself, that you can take another step, as you say, to produce water from renewables or green hydrogen, and probably many, you know, I mean, I guess that's in the vein of power to X, you know, many other things. And do you see that as the direction which you and perhaps the whole industry is going to go down?
Well, that's how it looks like right now. Yes, indeed. But at the same time, I have to caution. I have to say, in my view, there will be few countries which will be successful, which understand that it's not coming for free. Even if you have the natural resources, you need the government to support the development of this. They cannot just sit back and say, well, it's all privates. Let's let them do that. It's not going to work like this. And some of the countries have, you know, recognized that and are working very closely with the privates on finding a structure, a framework around it, which actually works. You know, it would be fantastic. It would be the first, one of the first times in history where actually large amount, the power can be used to export certain things like ammonia, like e-fuels, etc., you know, which means additional income for the country. That's something that hasn't really happened. In the past, there were a little bit of cross-border trading on power, right? Little things, nothing big, right? Now, it could be a step change if you do it right.
And presumably in terms of those countries which you expect will succeed with this, it's probably a question both of the correct commercial structures to de-risk, you know, what are very complicated projects, but also straightforward logistics, transmission interconnections, for instance.
No, absolutely. That's where I'm saying the support of the government and the utility is coming in, because yes, the private can do upstream and downstream. We can build, you know, wind and solar, whatever needs to be built. We can also do the downstream piece, the ammonia plant, etc., cooperation with other companies, right? But the transmission typically is still government. You know, it's not private. It's being done by the government. And that's a bit of a problem. If we do all of this, the downstream, the upstream, but then for some reason the services of the utility of the government are late, what happens then, you know? And that's things that still need to be sorted out. Yeah.
And so it's going to require very close coordination and careful planning.
Exactly. And that's why it's important that you hear about gigawatts here and there, right? But, you know, we need to start, you know, with smaller ambitions, but doable ambitions, right? Let's do 400-500 megawatts, you know, in the next 3-4 years, whatever. And once we are successful there, we can move up the ladder. And guess what? It's going, per definition, it's going to get cheaper with the second or the third project that you are doing.
Sure. So in terms of the scale of projects, I mean, you mentioned that you need to start, you know, with reasonable targets. I mean, whether you're looking at this type of project or really just the bread and butter of supplying power to grids, I mean, do you have a sort of sweet spot, a size of project, whether for wind or solar, that you really want to focus on? Or
our sweet spot is basically if it is financeable, right? And if you get into gigawatt situation, it gets less and less financeable. Because right. as I mentioned, we don't have 20 banks here no. in Africa. We have 4 or 5 which can do that. And there's a certain capacity that they have, right? So the sweet spot, at least for now, is a couple of 100 megawatts, right?
Okay.
And yeah, so that's why that's what we are looking sure. at. That gives you also, you know, economies of scale, and at the same right. time, you are not asking for the moon.
Right. And then I'd like to ask you also a little bit about technology. I mean, you've been successful both with solar and wind. I've noticed on your map that you know that now you've battery is something yeah. which is coming into your yeah. portfolio. I mean, do you expect to go broader than that, or are you really just focused
yeah,
on those things?
Particularly in Africa, I think there is a need, but also in other continents, there is a need for battery storage. The need for battery storage is always there if your supply is either below or, you know, just above your demand, right? Because what happens if one power plant goes off? You know, the whole sure. system could theoretically go down, or a portion of it could go down. So battery is a good choice for that. And it's the one which is now becoming commercially available. And what we are seeing is in other continents, Australia, you know, there we're talking about gigawatts of batteries, gigawatt hours of batteries being built, right? We are not there yet when it comes to Africa. You know, here it will be more like 100 gigawatt hour, sorry, megawatt hours to maybe 1,000 in the beginning, but I hope later on it will be get better, you know.
But in your vision, at least, the main commercial barrier towards developing sort of battery storage systems has essentially been broken or overcome.
Sorry?
Yeah. I mean, in the past, it's been just very difficult to make yeah. battery storage commercial. But you think now that essential hurdle has been overcome?
Yeah, I think the prices have come down, you know, quite a lot. Although currently, you know, with the logistical problems that we have, lithium ion, they are slightly up again. But on the, you know, on the medium to long term, I do expect this to go further down. Not me, but a lot of industry specialists are thinking that way. So it can be done. Can be done.
And so
the only problem we have, to be very honest with you, in Africa, is that if you look at United States, you know, Europe, Asia, Australia, they have much bigger requirement. You know, they're going into the gigawatts, and then there are only relatively few battery suppliers. And obviously, the battery suppliers see those markets as their prime markets rather than
sure.
Africa. That's a bit of an issue that we have, you know, yeah. in the early stages now.
No, I can. I mean, to be honest, I can imagine that may be a an overall challenge for Africa, because
yeah.
I know that you've observed that, you know, the vast majority of finance and capital going into renewables is going into other countries
right.
or other continents, not into the African
yeah.
continent.
That's right.
So. I mean, do you think that can be overcome quickly, or is it just a matter of building up and sort of?
I think success builds success. Yeah, that the problem that we have, we don't have any success. You know, it's something has started in South Africa, but beyond that, there's not much batteries around. We are one of,
sure.
you know, when we built ours, we will be the first and the largest utility scale. Battery outside of South Africa, so it tells you the story. You know,
sure.
we're still very early in the development of that.
And then reflecting a bit on that observation about just the weight of capital that globally that's going into renewables, but not in fact into Africa. I mean, it's interesting then to turn to where you started the conversation. With your observations about the significance of your acquisition by Infinity Power and the capital that you can now deploy,
mm-hmm.
I mean that does sound like in itself potentially a sort of game changing development for your company and mm-hmm. you know and for the countries that you're going to be engaged in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm very, very happy to have the new shareholders on the boat or in the boat because, you know, capital is there, more than I can take, as a matter of fact, and the focus is renewables and Africa. We are basically becoming, for these shareholders, we're becoming the renewable platform in Africa for them. So also certain projects that, you know, certain MOUs that they sign or things like that, you know, at one point or another, they may be transferred to this platform. So we're looking forward to a very bright future, as a matter of fact.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, John. It was very interesting.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast from EnergyNet. This series was recorded at the Africa Energy Forum 2023 in Nairobi, Kenya. Join us for this and other episodes as we talk to the industry players, stakeholders, and rising stars of Africa's energy sector.